read together of the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, and then we will briefly think on these verses together. Chapter 24, beginning at verse 15. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? And do you not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Our Father God in heaven, as we turn to your word, we ask for your help. Send again, God, the Holy Spirit, who has ordained that this word should be kept for us and arranged that this is the passage we should study today. Let indeed our hearts and minds be attuned to his leading, to his speaking to us. May we find he leads us to Jesus and to the way Jesus would have us go. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Excuse me one moment. I'm just going to see if there is a drink for me here, which, praise the Lord, there is. A whole day. A whole day. As we look at the love Jesus Christ has for his followers, we find he loves us enough to take the time. This morning we saw he loved us enough to take a step back, if you like, and come at the point when we needed to meet with him. And here tonight is the, if you will, the utter contrast. Mary had that moment in the garden. Master, don't touch me. Go and tell the disciples. It was but a moment, I think, as we read the text. But here we find the rest of the day, seemingly, spent in conversation with these two on the road. They, it seems, needed to have the whole of the Old Testament scriptures. Luke is very clear that it was all of the scriptures. What a privilege to have Jesus as your theology teacher. A day with him. As we know, Cleopas doesn't go on to convert Asia or have some other great ministry. He may have been Jesus' uncle, the brother of Joseph. He may have been the brother of the apostle Alphaeus. His son may have been Simeon, who followed James as the bishop, the second bishop of Jerusalem. But none of that is certain sure. We don't know that he went on to do any great work. And yet the Lord spent the day with him and his unnamed friend. The Lord Jesus loves us enough to take the time, to spend the time with us that we need. If you get nothing else from this passage, just know that about the Lord Jesus. He loves you that much that he will walk with you all day if that's what it takes. Many consider this encounter on the Emmaus Road as the most interesting of the 11 resurrection appearances, and it has much to teach us. And so we will just briefly find four things, then a reprise, and then a close. Firstly, there is a challenge here to speak to one another about Christ and to expect encouragement when we do. To speak to one another about Christ and to expect encouragement when we do. In the case of the Emmaus Road, of course, the encouragement is Jesus himself. We may not be so blessed as we discuss the Lord Jesus Christ, but discussing the Lord Jesus Christ is a key means of grace in our lives. The Proverbs tell us that iron sharpens iron, and that is what we are seeing and witnessing here. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, at that time those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. The Lord took notice and listened. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and had high regard for his name. Now that's prophecy, but it certainly implies that when we sit and discuss the things of Christ, note is taken in heaven. It is a good thing. They look down, God looks down, and in some way uses that and blesses us. How do we go about this? What do we know of Christian conversation with one another? I always remember, it is a haunting memory of mine, the account of the dinner table in the Ten Boom household just before the war. If you haven't read Corrie Ten Boom's Hiding Place for a while or seen the film, I recommend a regular refresher in this. But often times food was scarce, but the dinner table was sat around for a long time because following dinner the word was opened. And Corrie reminds us, she tells us that often different people would have a different translation of the Bible so that the meaning could be more helpfully found. And time was spent in discussion and conversation of the things of Christ. Do we do this in our homes, with our children, with our friends? What time do we spend doing this, and what time watching TV or talking about the latest music? Too much, I fear, on the latter. Is it any wonder then when we find ourselves tongue-tied before the world and struggle to talk about our Saviour when we feel we ought to, when we see the immediate need to? Is it not because out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks? And if we would have our hearts filled to abundance, we must talk about Jesus at home. We need to edify one another, as Thessalonians tells us, or perhaps remember this verse from Hebrews chapter 10. Let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together, but to spend time with one another, challenge one another, talk to one another. My friends, in heaven, we will spend all our time contemplating the Lord Jesus Christ, the glories of his victory won on the cross, celebrated today, Easter Day, and his rule and his reign. Let us begin now. And let us pray that our hearts will burn within us as they did for those two on the Emmaus Road. Secondly, then, let us be wise, as these two on the road were, to know when they don't know something. The wisest person, I think, is the one who knows what they do not know. We find them admitting that they'd hoped for the conqueror, not the spiritual Messiah that Jesus was. And they admitted that their thoughts of redemption had not been met. They are rightly rebuked by Jesus, and perhaps we too should feel the heat of those words. If we have neglected this means of grace, then perhaps we should hear the rebuke that we haven't studied the things of Christ enough. But they knew enough to want to know more. Even if we don't need to feel the rebuke, our destructive truth here. Our non-Christian friends and contacts are in this spiritual darkness. They cannot understand because sin obscures the mind. The cross to them is always foolishness until Christ opens their eyes. On the sports news again this week, I heard Billy Vinopola interviewed. You may know that he has stuck up for his friend Israel in the hemisphere. I forget exactly he is. But he posted, not perhaps the most, but he posted something about his beliefs and was vilified for them. And Billy Villam has supported him. And the commentator interviewed him. And then one of these folks who comments on that afterwards said he couldn't understand how faith and belief were more important than sport or the public's perception. And Billy Vinopola had said, look, my faith comes first, basically. My faith has got me here. I'm not going to change now. The world very seriously, very obviously, considered the believer to be a fool to put his faith first. And that is always the way it will be until the Lord opens their eyes. So let us praise the Lord. He goes with them. Even though their eyes are not fully open, they want to know more, and he goes with them. The joy of this is they don't need to know everything. They just need to be willing to listen. They just need to invite him in. We do not need to become the most well-educated before we can believe. This gospel will reach each and every one where they are at. Jesus can come alongside us wherever we are. In our ignorance, and to whatever degree our ignorance is, ignorance, he can guide us from there into the truth. Thirdly, let us remember that the whole of the Bible is about the Lord Jesus. I think this is a vital truth in our conversations with one another about the Lord Jesus Christ, and indeed in our handling of Scripture. It means that we mustn't cut any portion out, because we cut out something that tells us something about the Lord Jesus. But what we read here is beginning with Moses, that is the beginning of the Old Testament, and all the prophets, that is to the end of the Old Testament as we know it. From beginning to end, Jesus explained himself to them. Christ, one of the commentators has said, was the substance of every Old Testament sacrifice. Christ was ordained in the law of Moses. Christ was the true deliverer and king, of whom every judge and deliverer in Jewish history was just a picture. Christ was the coming prophet greater than Moses, whose glorious coming filled the pages of prophets. Christ was the true seed of the woman who was to bruise the serpent's head, the true seed in whom all the nations were to be blessed, the true Shiloh to whom the people were to be gathered, the true scapegoat, the true bronze serpent, the true lamb to which every daily offering pointed, the true high priest of whom every descendant of Aaron was a figure. These things, I think, were some of the things our Lord expounded to these two on the road to Emmaus. If and when we read the Bible, we let go before we've found the Lord Jesus Christ, we've missed the point. We do very well in our reading of Scripture to persist until we find the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the meaning, the heart, the central focus of all of Scripture. Fourthly, then, we find here the Lord Jesus loves to be welcomed in. Notice how Jesus, in effect, tests these two to see if they are tired of his conversation. He's going on, he makes to go on further at the end of the day. Have you had enough of me? Says Jesus, in effect. Do you want more of me? He says. They want more. And so we should want more. The Lord Jesus loves to be wanted more. Time and again in Scripture, we find that God encourages us to trust him. If you like to prove our love for him, he waits. He holds back a blessing until we ask, until we seek him. So it was with Jacob at Peniel. And chapter 32 of Genesis and verse 26 says, he said to Jacob, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And time again in the Scriptures, that is a principle that comes out. It is a principle of the Lord Jesus' behavior towards people and of his teaching in the parables. Perhaps you remember this one from Luke 11 and verses 5 to 8. He said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I don't have anything to offer him. He will answer from inside and say, don't bother me, the door is locked, we're all in bed, I can't get up to give you anything. I tell you, even though he won't get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his friend's shameless boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. There is a sense in which the Lord wants us to keep asking, to go deeper, to go further, to know him more, to love him more dearly. The Lord Jesus longs to be reached out to, and for us particularly, in prayer. There are times, James tells us, that we do not have because we do not ask. And we must ask in prayer. Ask as much as we dare, as often as we can of the Lord. He has promised much in his word. Don't ask him for what he has not promised to give. Ask him for what we read in his word. He said you can have. Chase after him for these things. Reach out to him for these things. Cry out to him as David did in the Psalms for blessing. We need to pray what we find in Scripture back to the Lord as our requests, and he will love to grant them. For he comes in, spends time, and gives the greater revelation in that moment in the evening than he has all day. Now you'll find these same things that we found in the Emmaus disciples on the road repeated the Lord Jesus stands before the disciples. Notice the grace with which the Lord Jesus meets the disciples. He says, peace to you. He treats these ones the same. They struggle to believe, and he is happy for them to touch him, to see his hands and his side. He deals gently with them with such patience, giving them what they need to understand. It's the same thing, just a different thing for this group and these ones. Look at verse 45 and see the special measure of understanding that he grants to the disciples. Gathered together as the 12, with one or two more we think, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He reminds them, he reminds us that his death is entirely necessary. This is no added extra, no dispensable theology. The cross is the only solution to the otherwise Gordian knot of human sin. Finally then, here the Lord tells us what we are to be about, our great purpose. We are his sent witnesses to go into the world and to preach the truth. We must have these conversations. We must talk with one another much about the Lord Jesus and invite him to explain himself to us and invite God the Holy Spirit to show us the Lord Jesus in the Word. But we must then go and share it with those we meet. A truth, yes, that will be disbelieved unless he opened blind eyes, but that is the work we are about, to testify to him, to join with him in the work of opening others' blind eyes as he has opened ours. So then our final questions tonight are these. Will you give the time it might take to investigate the claims of Jesus? Will you give the time that is needed to studying, to getting to know the Lord Jesus, and to sharing him with others? The Lord Jesus took the time to spend with us. He takes the time today to spend with us. Will you take the time with him and with others? Let's pray that we will.